reigns. You reign, Master. You reign. And forever you shall reign. And we shall ever be with you. Help us, Master. Help us today to deny ourselves in the establishments of this realm, knowing that we don't belong here. Help us not to compromise, be complacent, justify, or reason anything that would come against your will. Have mercy upon us, and let your grace abound as we repent for every sin, transgression, iniquity, and any other goofy thing we've done that's offended you. Rebellion, disobedience, unfulfilled vows and false covenants. Have mercy upon us. Wash us with the blood. Wash us with your stripes. Loose us from a curse of our family line, self-imposed curses and temporary curses. As we pull down every principality, power of darkness, wickedness in heavenly places, every territorial spirit of the water, land, air, and sea of darkness, and every animal spirit of the water, land, air, and sea that will come against the move of your spirit, revelation, confirmation, manifestation, impartation, freedom, healing, deliverance, and positioning, that we will be positioned to where it's no longer we that live, but you that live. And that your kingdom will be established in us and through us. And that Jesus, the name above all names, will be glorified. Keep us in the unity of your spirit. In Jesus' mighty name. Everybody said amen. Amen. Give somebody a hug. Tell them this is your day. How's everybody today? Blessed and highly flavored. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And it is a good day to die to yourself. How many of y'all know we're in the last days? Maybe in the last minutes or the last seconds. We could all go home right now. That's it. Bye-bye. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, how sweet that would be. But praise God. Revelation 19:17. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried out with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather together for the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, and of those who sit on them, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, both small and great. And I saw the beast, the kings of the earth, and their armies gather together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. Who's his army? We are. I love it that the Lord gathers. He sends out his angels to gather all the birds. He said, come on, you don't have to bless this food. It's already blessed. It's set apart for you, the flesh of men. The flesh of every animal. The flesh of horses the birds will eat. The Lord is gathering the last great supper for them. Then the beast in verse 20 was captured, and with him the false prophet who worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the what? Mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone, and the rest were killed with the sword which proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on the horse, and all the birds were filled with their flesh. So the birds got a good meal that day. It may sound gross, it may sound ooey and gooey, but that's the truth. And that day will come. And we are closer than you realize. And in this, the reason why that day came is because individuals took a deadly covenant. And I want to share about a deadly covenant. Because that's one of the things that the enemy wants to do. He wants to force you into a deadly covenant. The Bible tells us that they will no longer be able to buy or sell unless they take the mark of the beast. What's he going to do? He's going to force them into a deadly covenant, isn't he? See, you are either sealed by the Spirit or marked by the enemy. You and I were born with a mark. But there's accountability to get rid of that mark. Everybody's name is written in the book of life, but they still have a mark on them. And it's our responsibility to get the mark off. But there's an age of accountability where God ignores the mark at a certain age, but then at a certain age he acknowledges it. That's where the wicked are marked. Even in Ezekiel, talks about the angels that went out and marked individuals who did not honor the Lord or weep or pray against the other wicked. And those who were marked were rescued. And those who weren't were destroyed. So understand, the mark is the end determination of where you go when you give your last breath. That's why it's so important right now that you get your house in order. You get yourself in order. Because who you serve where you die is where you go. You'll either be marked by the Lord or marked by Satan. Either the angels will come and get you or the demons will. But understand, it's our responsibility right now, because many are in covenant with a deadly covenant and have no idea that they're in a deadly covenant. And it's our responsibility to help them come out of that covenant that they've made. And let me tell you, the devil doesn't make a covenant with an individual, with the individual truly knowing it. That's why he's known as the father of lies and deception. He makes a covenant with an individual without them knowing it. That's why the Bible says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. There are many believers who still have a covenant with Satan. And though they claim to be believers, but they're doing their will and not God's will, that's wrong covenant. Is everybody with me? The Bible tells us that only those who do the will of God will abide forever. So if you're not doing the will of God, you're doing your will, which is the will of darkness. Even the Lord said, many will come to me and say, Lord, Lord, we did this in your name. We prophesied, we cast out devils, we laid hands on the sick in your name. And the Lord will say to them, I don't know you. Why? Because they didn't do the Lord's will. See, by doing the Lord's will, there is a relationship established so that you know his voice, you know his unction, you know his leading. Many people just read the Bible and go by what the Bible says. But see, God's will is God's time. More people have a relationship with the Bible than God. Are you listening? The apostles didn't have a Bible. The disciples didn't have a Bible. They had a relationship. People go to school to learn all about the Bible, but never met Jesus. That's called religion. I don't care how many degrees you have. Degrees don't get you in heaven. Your relationship and following the Lord does. Those who practice righteousness are born again. See, there is a state of being that you and I must walk in. And that state of being is a born-again state of being. Many people are just walking in a saved state. And in that saved state, you're close. You're on the borderline of death and life. You must walk in a born-again state of being. So you're beyond saved. You're no longer trying to do things because you're saved to stay, to maintain salvation. You have a personal relationship with the Lord where you're doing things that please Him, not according to pleases you. It's important right now because many believers, so-called believers, are deceived and caught up in a deadly covenant and don't even know it. Is everybody okay? Praise God. Let's go a little bit deeper. We're going to go to Psalm 34. As you can well see that everything is trying to be forced upon us, isn't it? I mean, it's a bummer when the government won't put on their on the website their plan for health. They won't let American people know what they're doing. Well, then obviously they've got an agenda behind it that they don't want you to know. Because if there's an agenda correctly according to the will of God, it'll be well known. But if there's something that's hidden in an agenda, see, it's not about the government for the people now, it's about the government for an agenda now. Is everybody with me? This is how the enemy operates. Some people are being used by the devil, don't even know it. Because they don't know the truth to compare it with what the devil is doing and what God is saying. And in Psalm 34, is everybody there? Would you read it with me, starting at verse 1? I will bless the Lord at what? All times. Hello. I will what? And He's going to tell you how you're going to bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall what? Continually be in my mouth. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hello. You don't hear a judge saying that. Hello. You don't hear too many people saying that in a grocery store when they're checking out. They get their bill and weep. You're to get your bill and say hallelujah. Because you're not being, it doesn't have anything to do with your bill. You're not saying hallelujah because of the money. You're saying hallelujah because of His provision and His faithfulness. Praise shall be continually in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Yes. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt His name together. Let's go on. I what? I sought the Lord and He what? And He heard me and delivered me from what? All of my fears. Fears. Fear is a deadly covenant. They looked to Him and were radiant. And their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out to the Lord. Heard him. And saved him out of his what? And the angel of the Lord does what? He what? He encamps around all those who what? Fear him and what? And he delivers him. What does he deliver them? From a deadly covenant. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him. Oh, fear the Lord, you His saints. There is no want to those who fear Him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any what? Good thing. So we won't lack any good thing, will we? But there's something that we must do. We must conquer fear. We must conquer fear and maintain the fear of the Lord. And by maintaining the fear of the Lord, there will be abundance. You're blessing the Lord to maintain His presence. Bless the Lord. Anything that comes out of your mouth, you're causing a praise so that it brings the presence of God. How many of you all know that when God's presence is there, there's a blessing there? Amen. So in this, you know, there's an area where God wants to provide. But abundance, you know, I think we try to formulate abundance all the time. And abundance is really not formulated. It comes with conquering. And it comes with overcoming. See, it just doesn't come. It's available for us, but the Bible says that the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So there's an area that we must overcome and conquer. Certain things in our life so the devil cannot steal it. How many of y'all know that he wants to steal your faith? Isn't it faith that pleases God? And nothing is brought forth without faith. And faith is not blind, it is seen spiritually. So that's why the devil wants to blind you so he can nullify your faith. And anytime God wants to get something to you, you can't see when it's coming. And then the devil steals it beforehand. Is everybody okay? So one of the areas and the ways of abundance is brought forth by overcoming and conquering. In fact, in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and don't go there, it talks about a king that was going to get attacked all around him, King Jehoshaphat. And he didn't know what to do, so he went to the Lord, and the Lord said, listen, I got a plan. It's called grace. Listen to me. It's my plan of escape from the deception of the devil and from the wrath of God. He says, listen, if you guys would just praise and worship, I'll ambush your enemies. Why? If you maintain my presence, I'll go before you as a consuming fire. But it's amazing how many people say they're believers, but yet won't worship God. They won't seek him with all their heart. He says, if you'll seek me, you'll find me. Some people will be believers and never find God till the day they die. What a terrible state of being. So he ambushed their enemies, and when they got to the place that they were going to have the battle, everybody was already dead before they got there. And they were there 3 days taking all the spoil because of the abundance. But there was something they had to do. They had to conquer fear. They had to conquer fear. Because they were afraid, weren't they? They were outnumbered. There's no way carnally or naturally or common sensely that they could win that war. They were outnumbered. Impossible to physically win that war. They needed supernatural help, and that's where they went to. And they began to praise and worship before the army. The army never even got there yet. The people went before the army, praise and worship. God ambushed their enemies, destroyed their enemies, brought confusion in the enemy's camp, and they ended up killing one another. That's the kind of fight I like. And the people of God got there and just took all the cash. Yeah, man, they took it all. It was all laid there for everyone's name was on it, you know. Jewelry, everything. And they had abundance. I mean, there was so much they couldn't carry it in one day. It took them 3 days to get all of it. Can you imagine if somebody said to you, here's a charge card. Go and charge all you want for 3 days. Hello. Come on, think about that. Man, think what you can do in 30 minutes. When somebody would say, go do it for 3 days. Oh, glory. It's coming. Psalm 36. Psalm 36. Verse 7. Would you read it with me, please? How precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. They are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house. You give them drink from the river of your pleasures. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. So what they're saying, listen, there's an area as you praise and worship God. Not only does he fight your battles for you, but there is a satisfaction that is granted to you because, see, it says that he gives you drink from the river of his pleasures. That drink is his presence. That drink is his image, likeness, and character. That drink is his joy. That drink is his peace. And you know, all the money in the world will not buy you joy. It may buy you temporary happiness, but they will only last a while. then you become fearful of losing the money or losing all the things that you bought materialized. People get afraid of losing their materialism then. So all of that is an area where they go right back into fear. And that's an area where we must conquer and overcome all the time, because it always brings people into a deadly covenant. Go to Deuteronomy 7. And it's happening right now that the powers of darkness are trying to bring people into a deadly covenant. Hey, if you don't have a Bible, we got them. If you need a Bible, just ask for one. Bring your pad and paper and learn, or you'll burn. It's real simple. If you need a Bible, we've got them. No cost, just your soul. Thank you. They're yours. Keep them. Use them. Wear them out. Tear them up. Right in them. God won't be offended. And Deuteronomy chapter 7. We're doing not a salvation call, but a Bible call today. Deuteronomy 7. Deuteronomy. Is everybody okay? Come on, Joe. Would you ever think you'd be in a park on a Sunday? Listening to the Word of God? Fellowship and praising God? Well, the Bible says even the trees and everything is going to praise God, right? So they're praising God right along with us. That's why they're all facing up. Glory! And Deuteronomy 7. What's the number 7 mean? Complete and perfect. In other words, there's some point why this chapter is number 7. There must be a powerful meaning in this chapter. Deuteronomy 7 in verse 1. Would you all read it with me? Deuteronomy chapter 7 in verse 1. When the Lord your God brings you into the land which you go to possess, and has cast out many nations before you, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Lovites, and the Sidvites, and the Jezebites, and 7 nations greater and mightier than you. And when the Lord your God delivers them over to you, what is he going to do? Deliver them to you. You shall conquer them and utterly destroy them. You shall make no covenant with them, nor shall mercy to them. Now he's talking about the powers of darkness. Are you listening? Nor shall you make marriages with them. You shall not give your daughter to their son, nor take their daughter for your son. For they will turn your sons away from following them. From following who? Me, Jesus. To serve other gods, so that the anger of the Lord will be aroused against you and destroy you suddenly. Hello. But thus you shall deal with them. You shall destroy their altars and break down their sacred pillars and cut down their wooden images and burn their carved images with fire. That is called ongoing warfare. The only way that you can be sanctified or maintain your sanctification is to be continuous, ongoing warfare. It's amazing how people do not know how to warfare. They're expecting God to do it all. When he did. But now you must walk in the areas where he did it all. You must follow in his footsteps. He said, follow me. In other words, do what I do. This is an area where we must destroy their altars, break down their sacred pillars, cut down their wooden images, and burn their carved images with fire. That is called ongoing warfare. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth. Now, many people are going to think, well, this is just for Israel. No, we are grafted and one under Christ now. The Jew and the Gentile have all received the blessings of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We are now one. Are you listening? Okay. The Lord, verse 7, did not set his love on you nor choose you because you were more in number than any other people. For you are least of all peoples, but because the Lord loves you and because he would keep the oath with which he swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Now, who's ruling spirit right now? Pharaoh. Therefore, know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for a thousand generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. And he repays those who hate him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack with him who hates him. He will repay him to his face. Therefore, you shall keep the commandment, the statutes and the judgments which I command you today to observe them. In other words, obey them. That is a powerful scripture. Ongoing spiritual warfare to maintain the sanctified life as a conqueror. There is a conquering life and an abundant life. Without a conquering life, there is not abundant life. Has everybody got it? Remember, Jesus came for us, he said, to give us a what? Life abundant. But the devil came to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. And he does that by causing a believer to make a deadly covenant. 2 Corinthians 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Deadly covenants. That's why we must be led by the Spirit. Deadly covenants. Glory. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So as you're going shopping, people are going to hear you go, hallelujah. Amen. Or they're going, oh my God, this is expensive. You're going to go, hallelujah. My wife says that to me all the time. Honey, how much was that? I don't know. Was I supposed to look for a deal or get what I was supposed to get? She's the dealer. She goes out, man, she comes home with all of this stuff with deals I come home when I'm supposed to get. That's it. I go in and out. But she comes home with all of these deals, man, let me tell you. The prince of dealers. Miss Bargain. She's a bargainite. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 16. Glory, I'm going to get it afterwards. No. Hallelujah. Now we have a mutual understanding. Whew. Not that we can figure it out yet, but that's called trusting God. Okay, somebody give me a rope. Throw me a life preserver. Hey, we're not religious, are we? Come on now. Woo! Verse 16. We don't want to start any deadly covenants here. In verse 16, would you read it with me? And what agreement is the temple of God with idiots? Idols. For you are the temple of the living God, and God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, in other words, if you'll do this, come out from among them. In other words, get out of those deadly covenants. And be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Oh, yes. Conquering ungodly fear and maintaining the fear of God. But not coming in agreement with deadly covenants. There are so many deadly covenants that come in deceptive ways now. I mean, all kinds of ways where people are entangling themselves in deadly covenants and wonder why that no matter what they're trying to do, they're working more hours, they're doing all kinds of stuff, but the blessings are constantly being stolen because there is a covenant somewhere that you have made in agreement with the voice of the stranger, and the devil has access to steal. 1 Corinthians 15. And right now, the world is trying to get you to get in a global covenant. But we know better. Because we are going to maintain the fear of the Lord, not the fear of man. 1 Corinthians 15, is everybody there? In verse 3. 1 Corinthians 15, in verse 3. Would you read it with me? For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. In other words, they've died in Christ. After that, he was seen by James, then all the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God. Now, wait a minute. What's grace? The plan of God for the escape of deception of the devil and the wrath of God. Grace does not say, go ahead and do whatever you want to do, and you'll be okay. No, you'll be dead. Grace is the plan of escape from the deception of the devil and from the wrath of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. In other words, he did the will of God more than the others. Watch. Yet not I meaning not I did the will of God, but the grace of God, which was with me. In other words, I did more than others of the will of God than the will of man. Does everybody understand that? And that's how Paul got in position. That's how he maintained. That's how he conquered. That's how he overcame. And that's how God blessed him abundantly. Now listen, so many people just think that abundantly blessing is materialism. No. Let me tell you, I'd rather be blessed more abundantly with revelation, with the presence of God, with truth, visitation. Because see, no money, no material can satisfy that. So when we talk about being blessed abundantly, man, it's because we're blessed with the riches of God, with revelation and impartation, dreams and visions, and knowing your Father. And anything after that is an added feature. Okay, so you got a vehicle. Praise God, that's a blessing. Now, if you got a vehicle that's costing you $1,000 a month, that's not a blessing. Hello. Now, let me share something with you. Now, this may sound strange. There is good debt and bad debt. In other words, people go out and buy a home. Well, as long as your mortgage, hello, is not above the value of the house, of course, many of them are now because that was a setup by the powers of darkness to do that. But when you bought the house originally, you know, the value of the home was equal to the amount of the money or above. So that was what we call a good debt. But see, now people are forced into a bad debt. See, that's how the devil works too. He deceived everybody and qualified everybody, no matter what their income was, to buy a house. Yes. Oh, this is the blessings. No, it was deception. And many bought into it. Because nobody's ever seen this happen before. Not like this. But this was a national, just not a local area. This was a national arena set, planned by the powers of darkness to bring this country down, not to bless it. So there is debt that is, I don't like any debt, but there's debt, what we call good debt and bad debt. So if you had to borrow money to purchase a car, as long as that car isn't overwhelming to you, are you listening? You know, some people go out and buy cars and they're spending $600, $700, $800 a month on a car. That's crazy. You know? Especially now. Do not go out and get yourself in debt. Not now, man. That's over. Any debt now is bad debt. You got to be careful not to get yourself in debt. So we see that Paul was abundantly blessed, wasn't he? Paul conquered ungodly covenants, ungodly agreements that tried to come across his path. And he did it by maintaining the will of God, by maintaining the presence of God, and by maintaining seeking the Lord. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 11. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 11. Everybody there? Let's read it. Therefore, remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. In other words, on this, we were under the mark. As a Gentile, we are under the mark. We are covenanted with deadly covenant. Do you all know that when you make a covenant, you sign your signature? Or there is a stamp or some kind of seal. Something is there every time a covenant is made. And when there is covenant made, an oath or a vow, that's a covenant, or an agreement. There is verbal. You can make a covenant with your thoughts. You can make a covenant with something that you agree with or touch. You can make a covenant with it. And it is sealed. It is acknowledged. And it is written. In fact, there are things what we call in the book of remembrance. Those that are things that are remembered. Are the things that we've done. Now, let me share this with you, that the devil has a book of remembrance. And he's going to lay that book before God. And he's going to say, here's the covenants they made with me. Unless they are broke and put under the blood. Are you listening? Those are broke in the name of Jesus and put under the blood. They in the area of repentance. And the devil is trying to get people back into a deadly covenant. Many people have turned. The Bible says that many will fall from the faith in the latter days, taking heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Right? What are they doing? These people believe in Jesus, but they're not doing the will of Jesus. So they're not walking in the faith, they're walking in the flesh. They are now making a deadly covenant with the devil, because he who sows to the flesh reaps what? Corruption. And he who sows to the spirit reaps life. So if you're sowing to the flesh by making deadly covenants, the devil has access to you to steal, kill, and destroy. Praise God. Go to Romans 8. Romans chapter 8. And verse 31. Is everybody okay? What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers of things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of Christ, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Go to Ezekiel 21. Glory. We are more than conquerors. But you got to do it. You can't be a more than conqueror twiddling your thumbs. You can't be a more than conqueror doing your will. Good intentions is not a more than conqueror. Ezekiel 21, verse 18. The word of the Lord came to me again, saying, and son of man, appoint for yourself two ways for the sword of the king of Babylon to go. Both of them shall go from the same land. Make a sign, put it at the head of the road to the city. Appoint a road for the sword to go to Rabbath of the Ammonites and to Judah, and to the fortified Jerusalem. For the king of Babylon stands at the parting of the road, at the fork of the two roads, to use divination. He shakes the arrows. He consults the images. He looks at the liver. He's making covenant with the devil. Do you understand that? See, every time that you have gone to a soothsayer, read your horoscope, gone to a Chinese place, opened up a fortune cookie and read it, you made covenant. Hello. Are you all right? Praise God. And verse 22. In his right hand is the divination for Jerusalem, to set up battering rams, to call forth a slaughter, to lift a voice with shouting, to set battering rams against the gates, to heap up a siege mound, and to build a wall. And it will be to them like a false divination in the eyes of those who have sworn oaths with them. But now, what's a sworn oath? It's a covenant. It's a deadly covenant. But he will bring their iniquity to remembrance, that they may be taken. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, because you have made your iniquity to be remembered, and that your transgressions are uncovered, so that in all your doings your sins appear, because you have come to remembrance, you shall be taken in hand. Well, now to you, O profane, wicked prince of Israel, whose day has come, whose iniquity shall end, thus says the Lord God, remove the turban and take off the crown. Nothing shall remain the same. Exalt the humble and humble the exalted. Overthrow the overthrown. I will make it overthrown. It shall be no longer until he comes whose right it is. And I will give it to him. Oh, glory. That's where we're at right now. Go to Zephaniah. Zephaniah chapter 1. Let's read it together, starting at verse 4. I will stretch out my hand against Judah and against all the inhabitants of Jerusalem. I will cut off every trace of Baal from this place, the names of the idolatrous priests with the pagan priests, those who worship the host of heaven on the housetops, those who worship and swear oaths by the Lord, but who also swear by Malcolm. Malcolm was an Ammonite god. He was a pagan. Those who have, but listen, there are those who make an oath to the Lord, but those who make an oath to pagan gods too. Those who have turned back from following the Lord and have not sought the Lord nor inquired of him. Be silent in the presence of the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand. For the Lord has prepared a sacrifice. He has invited his guests. And it shall be in the day of the Lord's sacrifice that I will punish the princes of the kings of children, and all such as are clothed with foreign apparel. In the same day I will punish all those who leap over the threshold, who fill their master's houses with violence and deceit. And there shall be put on that day, says the Lord, a sound of mournful cry from the fish gate, wailing from the second quarter, and a loud crashing from the hills, while you inhabitants of Machkesh. For all merchant people are cut down. All those who handle money are cut off. And it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with lamps and punish the men who are settled in complacency, who say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, nor will he do evil. Therefore their goods shall become booty, and their houses a desolation. They shall build houses, but not inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards, but not drink their wine. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hastens quickly. The noise of the day of the Lord is bitter. There the mighty men shall cry out. The day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of devastation and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of trumpet and alarm against the fortified cities and against the high towers. Anybody remember any towers that came down? I will bring distress upon men, and they shall walk like blind men, because they have sinned against the Lord. Their blood shall be poured out like dust, and their flesh like refuge. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them. And the day of the Lord's wrath, the whole land shall be devoured by fire of his jealousy, for he will make speedy riddance and all those who dwell in the land. Wow. Why? Because they made a deadly covenant. Amen. And I'm going to close in Ephesians 3. And just reading that scripture enough ought to turn you away. Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 14. Let's read this together. Ephesians 3, verse 14. Everybody there? For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant us, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ will dwell in our hearts through faith, that being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. In other words, be empowered to overcome deadly covenants. We are to expose and help people come out of deadly covenants. Praise God. Everybody okay? You got it? Get it? Give it. Use it. Time's short. The world is being pushed, deceived, and fallen into deadly covenants. It's our responsibility to rescue. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word today. We give you all a glory, honor, and praise. I apply the blood of Jesus on this seed. I pray will grow and bear fruit for your glory. That it'll be protected, that the devil not steal, kill, or destroy in any area. But that we would be able to see, hear, receive, and do according to your will and not our own. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.